Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your astrological mug and sit back and let's talk about some human design, astrology, and I pulled an oracle card already. So we are ready to go. Let's see who's out here this morning. Tom, talk fast. I have to leave at a quarter after eight. Funny, Tom. Janet, I'm better for it, tell you now stuff. Okay. We'll talk about that later. Who else do I see out there this morning? I see Michelle. I see Roseanne. I see with my magic mirror. Happy full moon to everybody. The full moon happened at 7:20 my time, 10:20 if you're on the East Coast. And so we are now in the full moon. And we're going to talk a little bit about what that means. But first, in what is typically the reverse of the order I go in, I am going to share the oracle card. Because when I was doing my hair this morning, and let me tell you, it takes very little effort. I was just brushing it. And I went, oh, the universe here wants us to look at the card for the full moon. And since the full moon just happened, we're going to do that first. Good morning, Mimi. Good morning, Michelle Brooks. Good morning. I think that's it. And here's the card. I pulled the number 51 card and it's called Milk and Honey, right? Lovely, lovely card. Good morning, Michelle Gay. And Milk and Honey, card 51, looks to me to be quite abundant. If you look at the cards, you see an elephant inside of a bowl of what, milk and honey, maybe? And elephants often represent abundance. So my guess is, and I haven't really read the card yet, but my guess is this has something to do with abundance or prosperity. And I pulled it right side up. So we're going to read that message first this morning. And the essential meanings of the card is the taste of prosperity. Ay, yeah, yeah, I love it. Opportunities born of authenticity, nurturing abundance, trusting that your needs will be met. The Oracle's message, and remember, this is from The Wisdom of the Oracle by Colette Baron Reed. Good morning, Marlene. And it says, you've entered a sweet time in your life, enjoying the land of milk and honey that everyone wants to experience. It's an interlude that feels more languid than ambitious, when all your senses are awake to the unlimited possibilities in the universe. These times are precious and only come when you're in your authentic zone, wearing the world as a loose garment, not wanting, yet able to be nourished in ways both tangible and subtle. Abundance is an energy that you are a living part of. All your needs are being met. You are given the gift of nourishment in every form. Love that part. The relationship message says sensuality, connection, and passionate romance between lovers, sweet moments of understanding, and love among friends and family are all here for you to savor now. Your heart's calling will be answered. Let your thoughts and feelings be sweet with gratitude, and you will be nourished with the honey of abundance. The prosperity message, and the prosperity message, by the way, isn't just about money. It is also about if you are working with the career sector of your life, this is also the message that you would want to listen to. There is only one authentic you. This version of yourself is spirit's emissary in the world. When you're in alignment with the truth that you are a unique expression of the divine, your ego can rest and your soul can illuminate your purpose. Now is the time when you're seeking your true north. When you find this direction, you automatically step into prosperity and the world brings you evidence of abundance. Miracles are a choice and a way of seeing the world. With every choice you make right now, you have the potential to seize good fortune and embrace your destiny. Opportunities will lead you to your best life now. Be open to them. You're getting a sweet taste of what you want. Pretty cool, right? Pretty cool because the full moon was made up of course, the sun and the moon in an opposition to one another. The sun in the sign of Gemini, which means the moon in opposition in the sign of Sagittarius. Gemini ruled by Mercury brings that Mercury energy of communication and excitement and curiosity and information. And Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter. So that brings us this idea of prosperity, of things being bigger than life, of optimism and good fortune and some really good energies for us. So we have both the earth and the moon sitting at the same gate in human design. And we're going to talk a little bit about what that means. And then we have Jupiter at gate one being the most self-expressive gate in the entire of the human design. So some really good energies popping up right now for us to get really clear about what we're doing and to get more than just clear, but to get really moving on that. Interesting, because of course, Mars going retrograde next month slows things down. But in the short term, I think there are probably some things that we've been holding on to that maybe we've been holding back for whatever reason. Maybe we weren't clear about what to do yet, but it's clearly time for us to take some action and to do some things out there. So full moon happened 7:20 again, AM, my time, West Coast time, 10:20 East Coast time. I yesterday put out a little bit of an article because I didn't want to come on air. I didn't put makeup on all weekend, right? I just sort of dove into the gene keys. I used the moon in Scorpio energy quite appropriately for deep dives into some things that I wanted to work. Geminis, to some extent, are information seekers. Gemini holds the curiosity stream, and Sagittarius holds the stream that goes down deep. Good morning, Londa. It's good to see you out there. I hope everything's well in your world. And so we have this idea now that we are really meant to get onto what it is that's really true and authentic for ourselves, right? And doing that then requires us to follow some trails, to actually take some action, right? Not just to remember last week, we dealt a lot with the Mars energy. And now today, as of right now today, the South Node also at gate 41, where our dreams can just sort of stay up there in the dream state. But what we really need to do is bring them in and anchor them here into the physical world and take action steps, or else we keep losing out on the expression of who it is that we're here to be. All right. So this full moon comes with some really interesting connections. I like to see connections. It is sextiling both Mars and the nodes. The nodes meaning the north node of destiny and the south node of karma. And those connections really take us to some interesting places, right? Mars showing us the way if we only will pay attention. Of course, the nodes, these are the transiting nodes. And they're moving through a place then that is bringing us to our, if I say this, I don't want to freak people out, but to our leadership positions in whatever it is that we do out there. I know some of you kind of might take exception to the fact that you're, you know, you may think you're a follower, not a leader. So when I say leadership positions, I don't mean that I want you to go out there and all become, you know, the rah-rah girls for the head of whatever it is that you do, or the rah-rah guy for whatever it is you do. But I do want you to be able to claim your authenticity and express it in the way that's right for you. That puts you in what the truth is about leadership energy. Good morning, Suzanne. That leadership energy is really personal in this case. It's not about being the president of the United States or the head of the PTA. It's about really taking the role of who it is, the mantle, putting the mantle on of who it is that you were here to be. Londa says, embody our truth, embody our role model in our human design. Absolutely. Suzanne says, this is so poignant for me right now. I would say that's true for a lot of people out there, because I think we've been pussyfooting around. You know, have you ever watched a cat out on the wet grass? Like they're like, ew, don't let me touch that grass. And I think we've all been pussyfooting around and not really putting our pedal on the metal, our foot on the pedal, the pedal to the metal. So it's time for us to really do that, to do what Londa says here, embody our truth, embody our role model selves, right? You may not have a role model profile in your human design, but that doesn't mean that you're not meant to shine here in whatever way is correct for you. Now, this moon is also squaring Neptune, 90 degree angle. That can be a little bit scritchy, a little bit confrontational. It pits our, I'm going to give you an example of how this could pit our spiritual selves against our physical selves, if you will. Our soul knows the direction that we're here to go. the soul. If we listened only to the soul, we would always be in the right place at the right time with the right people for the right opportunities, right? My favorite little trifecta of things to say. And when we're squaring Neptune, maybe what we're doing is kind of questioning the truth, the veracity of our actual self, our soul. And an example of this is when we as spiritual beings go out in the world to do our work and then we fail to charge what we're worth. Or we think for some reason that there may be a block about what it is that we can charge, or should we even charge for the work that we do, right? We spiritual types have this sort of penchant for undercharging or not charging at all for what we do. So here's the opportunity then with the full moon squaring Neptune, is to be able to take a look at that and see, is that really the truth? Londa says, I did that yesterday. I do it every day. And I think a lot of us do it every day in some way, shape, or form. So being able to look at that now at this full moon, releasing, this is a releasing time. This is an epiphany time. This is a completion time. And I can hear, I don't know if you guys can hear this. Oops, sorry, I forgot to turn my phone down. But I don't know if you guys can hear this, but outside my window are bald eagles. Can you hear that? They're screeching and they're sending us, validating for us that message, right? That spirit doesn't want you to be poor, doesn't want you to not charge for the work you do, because in this physical world, that happens to be how we support ourselves and how we support one another. So remembering that if you're stopping yourself from taking action, or if you are underselling yourself, time to get some milk and honey and let that one go. Londa says, eagles. I say, yes, bald eagles out there crying, which means they're probably looking for food or fighting with each other over the food, or maybe they're just having fun because it's kind of a pretty day out there so far. Okay, so one more thing about the moon. It is moving void of course today. It's an interesting void of course moon this time. The void of course moon begins for us on the West Coast. On the West Coast only, begins tonight at 11:26 p.m. Don't know about you if you're on the West Coast. I plan on being in bed asleep. I will never know the difference. However, it lasts. That's tomorrow, May 29th, right? May 29th. It lasts until May 31st at 2:27 in the morning. Long time, right? A little bit over 24 hours, probably about 26 hours. For those of you on the East Coast, it begins at 2:26 in the morning, tomorrow morning, and lasts until 5:27 a.m. of the morning of the 31st. Long time. But those void of course moons give us such ease and grace, I think, and sometimes it releases us from that. Londa says, eagles stole a halibut the other day from a fisherman and dropped it in someone else's pickup. He said, thanks for dinner. I love that. Talk about gifts from spirit, right? I had an eagle one time drop a duck wing right on top of me, like right at my feet. It was too funny. And there's a video going around. My son lives on San Juan Island in Friday Harbor. And there's this beach he takes us to whenever we go over there called South Beach. And it's a beach that is populated by red foxes. And the red foxes were put there because the rabbit population overbloomed and they had rabbits everywhere. And so they brought the foxes in to help control the rabbit population. Well, in this video, a bald eagle swoops in and grabs a rabbit that's in the mouth of a fox and is carrying the fox and the rabbit along until finally the fox decides to let go of the rabbit and the eagle takes off with the rabbit. Craziness, right? But that's what we get to see a lot of around here because those eagles they're amazing animals. Okay, so that got us off topic. Void of course moon, a great time for ease and grace, for being quiet, for giving yourself an opportunity to go inward and to relax some of that daily frenetic activity. So we have that all day tomorrow, it looks like. And that means probably some time out, if you will, from starting anything like a job interview. You know, remember our whole list of things not to do during the void of course moon, moving inward, being more spiritual, doing some yoga, meditation, whatever's on your desk that needs to get finished or completed. It's a great time for that, but not necessarily a great time to start anything new tomorrow. All right. So I want to go to, I want to go to the Human Design Week for just a moment. My purpose this week for us is to remember last week we had a theme and it was about the Gate 41 and fantasy and anticipation and emanation. We learned a lot about those words. Yes, that last week. Well, this week on Thursday, I have a guest coming on to the show. Her name is Diane Lawson, and she is the author of the book, The Astrology of Relationships. And so she's going to be talking to us a lot about the book and about relationships and astrology, which a lot of people are always very interested in. And I dare say that relationships aren't just, you know, between, love spouse partners, but also between friends and also between associates and the people that we are working with. So we're going to dig into relationships this week. So I'm going to set the tone for relationships with a little astro lesson. And this morning, I think I wrote in the pre-workup for this video about having your regular astrology chart with you while we start this conversation. So I want to start that conversation. And then if we have time, I will jump into the Human Design for the week. If I don't get to do that, it's okay, because I will write about that later on today and post it up on the page. But I think there's some interesting stuff going on. Okay, anyway, so relationships. I want to show you a regular astrology chart. Here is a regular astrology chart. And what I've done here is shown us where the two houses are that we are going to focus on. The first one here is the fifth house, and the second one up here is the seventh house. The seventh house is the house of marriage and partnerships, taking relationship deeper. It is the we are house, as opposed to the opposite one, which is the first house of I am. And then the fifth house is really the house of love and romance, short-term love affairs. So we have two houses. And I just want you to know the houses in a chart show us where the action takes place, right? So at all the charts, no matter whose chart it is, begins over here at the 9 o'clock position. Ay, 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 9 o'clock position right here. The 9 o'clock position is the entry point. It is your ascendant, your rising sign. It is when you were born, the sign that was rising on the eastern horizon with the sun. All right. Or wherever it was, whatever time of day, it is the one that was on that horizon. This happens to be my own chart. And on the eastern horizon was the sign Cancer, 26 degrees Cancer. And then that begins the round of the houses in my chart. Right? If you go around, each of the 12 houses is represented by these pie-shaped pieces. And each of these houses has an area of your life that it rules, or that it holds a sway over. And in relationships, then if I'm going to pull your chart, let's say you want to know, you know, now all I can think of is Jason going, when am I going to get married? But if you wanted to know in a reading about relationships, what's going on in my relationships, when am I going to get in a relationship, why am I not in a relationship, etc., then the first place I'm going to look at is going to be the disposition of your fifth house and your seventh house. I'm going to show that again. And there's a couple of things I'm going to look at. One, I'm going to look at where does that house start? So in my particular chart, the fifth house starts in Scorpio. And it goes from Scorpio through a bit of most of Sagittarius, right? And my seventh house of marriage begins in the sign of Capricorn and moves on up into about midway through the sign of Aquarius. So I'm going to take a look at the signs that are on the cusp of those houses. And why? Because the cusp is the entry point And that sign on the cusp is the entry point from which I can look at and view my my ideas of love and romance. And in the seventh house, my ideas of love and marriage, or more committed relationships or partnerships. And when I get that sign, immediately I'm going to have a ruling planet. Let me know if you guys are following me here. If you have questions, let me know. This is pretty basic astrology, but it can be confusing for people who are not normally looking at their astrology charts in this way. So if you have your own astrology chart in front of you, count out to the fifth house, right? Starting at this bold line over here at 9 o'clock, count one. This one's 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And that's your fifth house. Or if you're a cheater like me, inside the wheel here, you're going to see some numbers, and that tells you the number of the house, right? This particular chart, which I get from Astrodienst, even though I have my own astrology program, I got used to using this program, so I use it, and it's free, and it's online, right? So I get it. And so you can look at the fifth house and see what sign happens to be on the cusp of your fifth house. And that gives you an idea of how you view love and romance, right? That fifth house, remember, is love and romance, among other things. It's joy, creativity, our children, our creative efforts in the world. And mine here, beginning in Scorpio, puts an intensity on love and romance. It puts an idea in my chart. This is all about the idea of intimacy, right? And this is sign of Scorpio is also about sex. To me, they're linked together, right? Linked together, sex and intimacy, linked together. There's no, and there are other ways you could look at this as well. But your entry point, whatever sign it is, gives you an idea of how it is you view love and romance. What does it take to woo you? What do you want? How do you want to be loved? I guess is another really good question we could ask by what we see in that fifth house. And for example, if it's the sign of Leo, let's put Leo there just for some people who might have Leo on that house. Maybe Leo wants to be the center of attention, right? So love and romance for you is linked to you being everything to someone, right? You being the center of someone's world. And if that person then starts out your relationship with really kind of ignoring you, that would give me big warning signs that this might not be the relationship for me, because I want to be his or her everything. Okay. If you have the sign of Pisces here, then there may be some problems, right? We got to look at Pisces on the romance house very deeply, or if you have Neptune in that house, which we haven't talked about yet, because there's this sense sometimes with Pisces energy of the real versus the ideal. And in love and romance, then you have a tendency to maybe idealize or over-idealize a partner. And so we want to look very carefully at the relative reality of how you're experiencing that partner. Makes sense, right? So Pisces here would want someone maybe very spiritual, or someone very creative, someone who wants to meld with them, somebody who has demonstrated compassion and love. And then having to pay attention a little bit to that versus the real versus that ideal. So depending on what's on your fifth house, you get an idea of what it takes for you to be wooed into a relationship, for you to feel love, and for you to feel romantic with a partner. Okay, I don't see any questions popping up. Mimi gives me a thumbs up, so I'm hoping everybody understands this. Now let's look at the seventh house, because the seventh house over here on the right side, right, is where the descendant is, right? So if the ascendant is over here at 9 o'clock, then the descendant is at 3 o'clock, and that begins the seventh house. And I've outlined it here. And in my case, it begins in Capricorn. And this is going to give you an idea of who you want for a marriage partner. If you were, and you don't have to necessarily be into marriage, you just don't. right? It could be a committed partnership. It could be a business partnership. If you have Capricorn here or whatever sign you have here is going to give you an idea of what kind of a partner you would be comfortable in a committed relationship with. What are you looking for that committed relationship? In my case, with Capricorn here, it's someone who is solid, stable, who knows themselves, right? Who is willing and ready to be responsible. That was huge for me, even though I didn't know my astrology at that time, right? When I was looking for a marriage partner. And apparently I found somebody who was that kind of stability and had that kind of responsibility because I've been married for 36 years. Right? This is an indication that who I was looking for needed to be trustworthy and loyal. And definitely my Terry is that, right? He is that. So whatever sign you have on the entry point into your seventh house gives you a clue as to what kind of partner you want to be with. And let's change to some other signs. Let's look at Cancer on that cusp. If Cancer is on that cusp, you are looking for someone who is nurturing, who is loving, who is giving, right? Who maybe has this hard shell exterior, but you can see through to the soft underbelly of who they are, right? These are the traits or the qualities that you might be looking for in a long-term partnership. What if you had Let's put Virgo there, right? Virgo might be an interesting sign to have on the seventh house because here you're looking for someone who's detail oriented, who knows how to organize. Maybe you're the slob person and you're looking for someone to help organize you, right? You really need somebody that's going to be able to be practical and down to earth, who maybe has some healing properties to them, has some healing abilities to them. So looking at your seventh house cusp then is going to give you some insight into who would best be your partner. Now, having said that, does that mean that I should have gone out and looked for a Capricorn? No, because my husband's a Libra. It's not necessarily, now I've seen many times I've seen this, where the sign on the seventh house is the representation of the spouse or the committed partner that you're with. I've seen that time and again. It didn't happen that way for me. Friday, I was doing a reading with a friend and it certainly is there in her chart, Libra on this house, and she's with a Libra. So it happens that sometimes the house on the cusp or the sign on the cusp, excuse me, is the actual person, but it doesn't always happen that way. But I can tell you that there are certain traits in those signs that you're looking for and that would make you feel comfortable in a committed relationship. So for example, if you had Cancer on the sign or on this seventh house cusp, and you find yourself with someone who's highly egocentric and narcissistic and doesn't want to, you know, feed you, help you, give you back massages or take care of you in any way, then you might have the wrong person. So, and there's much more depth here to this too. I mean, I'm just giving you this outline. These are some of the things that will be great fodder for questioning Diane on Thursday, right? These are things for us to really look at in terms of what is it that we're really looking for, whether you're with someone or whether you're not with anybody at this moment in time, right? You could look at it as if you're in a relationship already, maybe that helps you solidify what it was you saw in that person in the first place. And if you're not with someone, maybe it will give you clues as to where you're looking for this person. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places, right? Do you really think that if you're in bars and saloons and pubs that you're going to find someone who has those Cancer qualities of, I mean, I don't know, maybe, but you know, so it might give you clues as to where it is that you could go to find your spouse. That's deeper, but let's see. Comments here. Londa, oops. He's strong, trustworthy, hard shell, but as a Leo, he doesn't dote on me. He is practical, although we are also married 37 years. Awesome. Hold on. So wait a minute. You say, oops, he's strong, trustworthy, hard shell, but as a Leo, wait a minute, you're a Leo. What's your rising sign? And what is on your seventh house? That's what we're looking at, Londa. I know you are personally a Leo. I can't remember your rising sign though. So tell me your rising sign and then look directly across from it. See what sign is on the other side. That's going to tell you what qualities are that you were looking for in a spouse. And apparently you found it too, right? Apparently you found it. So it's not so much looking at his chart, but your own. And if I don't think you have Leo on the descendant. Sun. Is your sun in the seventh house? Well, while I wait for her to talk about that, the next part to look at, I'm just checking the time. The next thing for you to look at is what is in that house. Because any planets or points that are in either the fifth house or the seventh house are going to color, they're going to color what you're looking for in terms of partnership or love and romance. And for example, let's just say Londa says the sun. So if you have the sun in that seventh house of marriage, then a whole lot of your personality is devoted to relationships. A lot of emphasis and focus in that. Call me later, Londa. We'll look at your chart. And if you have, let's say, the planet Venus in your seventh house, you are looking for love. You are looking for the whole package in terms of the relationship, love and romance and beauty and harmony, right? Someone who's prosperous. So those planets that get placed in either of those two houses are also things that we have to consider. Chiron in Aquarius. Is that in your seventh house, Suzanne, or your fifth house? Chiron in Aquarius in your seventh house would put a wound here for you. If you put Chiron in a seventh house or in a fifth house, you're placing a wound around love and romance and around relationship. And if it's in the sign of Aquarius, it's about power. There's power struggles. Either you give away your power to the person in your relationships, or you draw to you a person that you struggle with over power, because the whole key for Chiron and Aquarius is for you to learn about your own power and to become powerful. And in the sense that you're not dragging the power away from your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever, but you are empowering yourself instead of being disempowered. Suzanne says, yes. Chiron in Aquarius in the seventh house. So relationships are sort of your Achilles heel then, learning tons from the people in your relationships, right? About yourself, about power, about what do I really want? So great, right? So depending on those planets that you have in there, you get a sense then of who you're designed to be, if I can use the word design, in relationship. And then it's flavored. It's like, oh, I'm going to put a little salt here. I'm going to put a little cumin in this one. What the flavors are the planets that sit there. And if you have no planets there, it doesn't mean you're not going to have a relationship, because that's the next question that people often hit me with, right? My fifth house only has the vertex in it, right? Does that mean I'm not going to have it right here, right? Just right there, just this one little thing, vertex. Does that mean I'm doomed to not have love and relationships or romance in my life? No, not at all. It means that we're going to look to the sign on the cusp there, which is Scorpio. And Scorpio's rulers are Mars and Pluto. So we're going to look and see what that means. Where are Mars and Pluto? And we can look deeper and deeper through layers of your astrology chart and using it as a lens. Like, this is the lens of sex and relationships, or actually this is the lens of love, romance, and relationships. Of course, sex does enter into this too, right? And we want to look then at Scorpio, and we want to look at Mars and Pluto as the planets involved in sex. So it is a multi-layered sort of thing, but I can give you this little clue by just saying, where is your fifth house and where is your seventh house? And what those qualities there are there in those signs gives you huge ideas about what it is you're looking for and whether or not you're looking for love in all the wrong places, right? Or finding it with the wrong people. Now, I could make the case that there are no wrong people, right? That whoever you're with, you're learning a ton about yourself through them, right? They're holding up the mirror for you maybe in some way. So you could see where you've been disempowered maybe for you, Suzanne. And being able then to see yourself more clearly through your relationships is the purpose of relationships, right? Okay. That's the relationship lesson for today. Tomorrow, I'm going to take it a little bit deeper and we'll look at maybe what some of the more, the busier planets in those signs are. Suzanne says, oh, okay. Thanks. You're welcome, sweetie. So, and you know, what's funny is, you know, I looked at all my kids and my grandkids' charts and I could have predicted exactly what's happened with each of them as it relates to relationship. If I'd really been paying attention in particular, I could have really, anyway, it doesn't matter. I was looking in relationships specifically for my granddaughter, who's only 15, right? But what a better age to find out who you really are and what kind of relationships really for you than to be 15 years old, right? And have a grandmother that's an astrologer that could say, hey, you're looking for love in all the wrong places. And so that was going through my head this weekend too, as I was preparing this. So not because she's young and, you know, should be looking for a relationship, not at all, but her experience with relationships thus far has been pretty stormy. And anyway, okay. If you guys have any questions about that, let me know. Maybe again, tomorrow morning, bring your personal astrology chart to the video or to the live, and we can talk, work through those things. And if you have any questions, let me know. Okay. So I've only got a, okay. Just quickly, because I like to talk sometimes. This week, the Human Design Week started the 27th. So it was on Sunday and moves through June 2nd. On June 2nd, we begin the new week. And this week, the sun's influence is on gate 16, while the earth and now the full moon are both at gate 9. So I just kind of want to give you a quick little rundown about what gate 16 is. In human design, gate 16 is on the throat. Let me show you a chart of the just now. Remember last week, because of the gates that were being triggered, we all had access to being sort of like manifesting generators. And I gave you that warning not to use your energy incorrectly. Well, this week we are, this is what our chart would look like. If we were born on May 29th at 2:47 PM UTC, when I pulled this, this is what you would look like in your chart, at least from just the personality standpoint. This is the just now chart. And it shows that the planets are connecting a channel 1 and 8 through the throat and into the identity center. So for those of you who have open throats and those of you who have open identity centers, you are suddenly connected here. So a warning, right? To be careful about how you speak. Remember, open throat, you need an invitation to speak. Right? You don't want to just be boorish and jump into a conversation and just start blabbing to people because they won't appreciate what you have to offer. Right? And you'll come away feeling undervalued or not recognized or not worthy. And for those of you who are open in the identity center today or this week, you have access to an identity, a life purpose, because gate 1 is what is connecting this. Gate 1 is on the identity center, gate 8 up here in the throat. You may believe you've actually found your life purpose and how it is that you're here to contribute. Just be sure it is authentically yours and not an identity that you're picking up from other people in your life, right? That's not a good plan. So the gate 16, which is where the sun is this week, is sitting over here. It is on the throat center. It in human design is called the gate of enthusiasm. It is the end result of the stream of mastery. And the stream of mastery begins over here with joy, moves up through to gate 18, perfection and criticism, and then to gate 48, which gives us the entryway into mastery, and then finally deposits up here at gate 16 in the gate of enthusiasm, where your mastery becomes expressed in the world. So it's part of that stream of mastery, but it's the end part. You got to go through all of the other parts to get there. So when we look at it through through the gene keys, what we see here is the gate 16. I have this hair coming right down through my, it's tickling my face. Ah, and it was in my vision and now it's gone. Okay. So at gate 16, through the gene keys, we see we have the energy of indifference in the shadow. Indifference, like it doesn't really matter to me, I guess, is how you could put that. Gate 16 in the gift is versatility, right? Being versatile, being able to use your mastery in whatever way shows up, right? How do I express my mastery today? And gate 16 in the highest expression, mastery, right? I also was doing a lot of work on the gene keys this weekend and I realized something. And this is something I'd never heard before. And this was from God only knows which video I was watching when I heard this, but Richard Rudd, who is the author of The Gene Keys, was saying that we should only really be spending about 10% of our time on the shadow and 90% of our time in the gift and the Siddhi frequencies. And, you know, I could see the wisdom in that, because I often get into the shadow and I can see it readily in my life where the shadow is. I can see how it's playing out. And then I almost find myself stuck there, you know, like contemplating that shadow. But I really need to go up to the gift and to the Siddhi and be contemplating those, right? How do I get to those, right? Okay, yes, I've got this shadow of indifference, but how do I get to versatility and mastery, right? So if you have the gene keys and you want to pull that book out and read it, just do your cursory look at what the shadow is, but deep dive, contemplate into the other two. Now, the earth this week is at gate 9. In the shadow, gate 9, and the full moon is also here, people. So that's just for today. But the earth stays there all week. The lower expression is inertia. Inertia is that energy of, right, the foot and the brake and the foot also on the gas, and you're not going anywhere, right? It's like you just can't seem to break free of the start gate, like a horse in a race, right? That breaks free of the start gate and gallops on to the race, right? So the feeling of inertia. The gift is determination. I'm determined to break free from this inertia and to move forward in my life. And at the highest level, we have invincibility, right? Superpowers, invincibility, mastery. Those are the superpowers. The gifts being determination and versatility. So I'll leave you with that. Maybe we'll take a look deeper into that as the week goes on, and or I will write up something about that. And remembering today is the day that the nodes, the north node and the south node, shifted, and they are now at gate 31 in the north node, which is the gate of leadership, and gate 41, where the south node is, at the gate of fantasy, which we talked a lot about last week. Remember, now it's about taking those gifts and those talents, everything in your cup, and being able to use it, right? Stepping out of just holding on to that inertia, stepping out of holding on to just the dream and the fantasy, and now it's time to express it in your north node way, which would suggest that we are needing to become leaders in our world, whatever way that means for you. All right. Well, thank you so much, everybody. Mwah! Much love to you all. I hope you have a wonderful day. We'll be here tomorrow morning again at 8 a.m. and we'll dig into more of the human design, perhaps, but definitely dig more into finding love, romance, and relationships in your astrology. All right. Take care. Have a great day. Bye, everyone.